I thought, now that we've done going through all this, we can spice up this time a little bit and have a pop quiz. We all like pop quizzes, right? Okay. So these aren't real hard. Okay. So who can name the names, just any one of the names, of the rock band called the Beatles? John Lennon. Got one. Paul. Ringo. George. Wow, that's pretty good. I give you like a B+ on that. I was going to give you B-, but you did great. Okay, I'm going to say a word, and you're going to say the first thing that pops into your head, okay? I tried this on my family, and it didn't work, but it's really simple. Word, pop, that's why it's a pop quiz, you know, word, pop. Okay, the word is church. First, people, love, building, family, God. A lot more than I thought. That's good. I meant to give you another B+. I was going to give you a C- on that, but you're doing good. Okay, I'll do the extra credit now. We're going to do extra credit to bring this back up to A level. Of those four Beatles, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, who's the most important? John, that's better. It's closer. That's not the right answer, but that's okay. So why don't we pray? Lord, we do thank you today that you are a great living God, that we can praise you, and we can join together and just say how holy your name is. We just thank you today for that. Just ask, Lord, that you would, as Jeff prayed, that you would give us all a new thought today of your love for us, just a better picture, at least one better picture of your love for us. Again, just ask you to speak through me and guide this time. We pray in your name. Okay. Story time. I got my little drink here. Is it comfortable enough? We turned the air on. It was about 85 in here when we got here this morning. It's getting better, I think. 80? Okay, well, that's better. So we, years ago, I met this woman. Her name was Sue. We started dating, and somewhere early on, she popped the question that's always hard for everybody to answer. Actually, it's not the question, but it's a question. One that guys have to think about, and those are always hard to answer. She asked me, do you believe in God? And I didn't know how to answer that. And actually, I'm rewriting my whole speech based on this right now. This is pure ad lib. Because I remember the whole situation differently. We talked about it. And that's a tough question. I'm thinking, do I? Because I kind of did. When I was in junior high, I kind of did, but never went to church, so I said no. See? This is honest. I thought I said yes, but I said no. And so she said, well, and I said, why? And because I don't see him. I don't know. How do you know God when you can't see him? She said, do you believe in love? Okay, this is getting really deep. Now she's talking about love, and we've only been seeing each other for a couple of weeks. I don't know. So that was, anyway, that we passed over that question. We went on to, we got married a couple of years later. We got married a little while after that. We started coming to a church. The church, and this is the true name, was a Solid Rock Foundation. I don't know if that was, I thought it was a geology club. They said it was a church. We went there. He's walking around talking like this, and didn't have any notes, and he was chatting. He's saying, at one point in my life was a mess. Somebody shared John 3:16 with me, and my life changed around. And said, I went home to my parents' house, and I smacked him upside the head with John 3:16, and the people in the crowd start giggling, and I'm thinking, what's he talking about? So I'm thinking John 3:16, this is the next slide. I don't know if it's up there yet. Oh, we don't have slides. Oh, you're missing a good one. Okay, John 3:16. That's what I was thinking. I didn't know what it was. So we went home that night, and I asked Sue, what are these names and number things going on? And she said, the Bible's this big book, and they broke it down into little books, and they named them funny names, like Ichabod or whatever. And then there's, after that, there's a number, that's the chapter, and then after that, there's a colon, and you got the numbers after that are the verses. They separated the chapter into sentences and called them verses and all that. So I went to my little cubby hole and got John 3. I looked through the Bible, I'm looking. That's going to be important. I'll pick that up. Scrolling down here, I found Jonah, but that probably wasn't it. So I kept going and found John. Got it. Oh, wait a minute. There's a 1 John and a 2 John and a 3 John. How do you do this thing? I couldn't figure it out. So I went to, you know, who's the greatest John ever? Next slide. He didn't help. So I thought I'd go to the one. I'd go to number one slide. So I went to John, 1 John 3:16. You can show that slide up here. 1 John 3:16. Memorized it, went back. He never referenced John 3:16 again that I could remember. So it kind of wasn't wasted, but it was important. And then a while later, I realized that I had the wrong verse. But you can see I did pretty good. It was pretty close to the right verse. So I imagine, and I'm hoping, that you're all sitting here thinking, what in the world is he talking about? And why is he up there? I should be the one giving that sermon. And that's what I'm talking about today. We can all do this. So this is doesn't take a rocket scientist, obviously. So, the church. When I think of the church, next slide, this is actually what I think about. The grand lady of all of architecture. Sad. We almost lost her. But I'm not going to talk about Notre Dame today, though, even though that's her picture. There's two pictures. There's one inside and one outside. A couple years ago, we did a fundraiser. I thought this is the only part about Notre Dame I'll talk about. We did a fundraiser to raise funds for some new church thing. And since then, we've been looking at new buildings, to buy a new building, to rent a new building, to build a new building, to build an addition on this building, to join with other churches. Other things. We've been looking at all kinds of options and haven't come up with anything yet. So it's been a couple of years. When they decided to build Notre Dame, it only took them 300 years. So we're ahead of schedule. So to start my study on the church, I decided to go to Gateway, Bible Gateway, that little app program thing, and I typed in church, and I got 112 hits, which is pretty exciting. I am getting some feedback here a little bit, but got 112 hits, and of those, none of them were in the Old Testament, probably not a shock to anybody. None of them were in the Old Testament. They're all scattered through the New Testament. Three of them were in the Gospel, only three in the Gospels, and they're all happening in Matthew. We're going to talk about those in a minute. Sue mentioned that it's probably good to share references, so I did put all those references up here. Those are all 112, and there will be a pop quiz, so better start working on them. I did read them all, and one thing that stood out to me about all 112 was what they didn't say. They didn't talk about a building. They didn't talk about a service on Sunday morning. That's what I normally think about. Like when Bob Bishop used to call me up on Saturdays and say, "You want to go golfing tomorrow morning?" I said, "I'd have to go to church." You know, that he didn't do that, but that church I think about, you know, this coming to the service, is church, this two-hour segment on Sunday is church and the building and people. And every one of the verses talked about the people of God. And that's when they reference the church. They reference the church in this city, in your house, in this community, area, district. And I thought that was important. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. I have no idea where I'm on in this thing. I'll start with the Matthew verse in Matthew 16. That should be slide number 8 for those of you who are counting. I think this is the first reference of the church, first time the church was mentioned in the Bible, because Jesus mentioned it. All the other ones are written in the gospel, in the later books. This is the only one in the gospel accounts, and this is Jesus saying, and he's referencing the church. This is probably the first time it was mentioned. Whether that was important or not, I don't know. But this is Jesus talking to his guys, his main guys. Now, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" See, there is my little hum. "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they all said, it's kind of like our pop quiz, they all said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. Still others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He asked another question, said to them, "What do you say that I am?" I love Simon. He's always the one who answers. He is the leader, even back here. He was the one that got out of the boat when nobody else did. He did the stuff nobody else did. But anyway, he answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he got it right. That is the answer. Christ means Messiah. You're the Savior, Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, And I do not have this written here. Oh, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. That was his name. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Peter means rock or stone. I think that's where petrified comes from. And upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overpower it. You can almost think this is talking about a building with foundations, but it's not. He's talking about his people. The foundation isn't Peter the rock. The foundation is the statement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what his church of people, is built on that statement. And okay, so I'm sorry. I won't go into that. Okay, I usually read these things. So if the church is his people, and it's built on the solid rock foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And if we tend to, I was thinking, if we think of the church as a building, which I have done, you saw that, and I think that sometimes, what are we? We tend to be accessories to that building. We come to the building and sit down, and there's stuff going on. But you know, the building is more important. We tend to take care of the building. We can see the building as the house of God, that's where God resides, so we have to go there to hear him speak to us. And that thing that we come to on Sunday morning, an important time, we're going to hear his special words that time. And it's really, those aren't true, because he can speak to us anytime, any day, anytime, any place, at any time. And we don't have to come here to hear that. This isn't his house, actually. If he's anywhere, it's us. But he's in each one of us. He's given each one of us his Holy Spirit, dwells inside of us. So we can hear from God. We are his house. We can hear from anytime, any place. This is a nice, convenient place for all of us to gather together. It's a great place to have services where we have great services. Those are all extras. But, you know, it's all about us. Okay. When I went through this, it did take me 40 minutes. So I'm going to try to go through this a little quicker today. So, but I think that's important. It's easy to get there, and I've seen that in other churches and other people who actually think those ways, and they think that all they have to do is come to church between 10 and 12 on Sunday morning, and they have their spiritual services all taken care of for the week. But that's not exactly true, I don't think. So we had this next slide. We can show the next slide. These guys, again, we talked about them. The four slides, we asked who's the most important. Somebody said Paul. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was pointing at us. We're the most important. He's Paul. Somebody said Paul. My sister thought he had dreamy brown eyes, that he was really important. John. Somebody said John, I think. And he was the driver. He was the creative force. He was different. George was the quiet guy, but he played lead guitar like nobody else has. And then Ringo, whoever he was. Ringo is actually my vote. But in reality, if you take any one of those four guys out of the picture, they're not the Beatles anymore. That band wouldn't have happened without one of them. That's true with the body of Christ. If you take any one out, it's not the body anymore. We're all equally important. None of us is really more important than the other one. So I wanted to look at that a little bit. So we're going to go back to Peter. And this is in 1 Peter. Starting with the very first verse in 1 Peter, just to give some credentials. Are we doing okay? Yeah. Can you read those things okay? I made them kind of small, I guess. Sorry about that. For you old people out there, yeah, I'll read them to you. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we know who wrote this book, Peter. To those who reside as aliens. So first of all, these guys are displaced people. They're scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. So he's not talking about one person. He's not talking to a group of leaders. He's talking to a bunch of people scattered over a whole continent or some chunk of land. I don't know how big it was. And I think it really applies to all of us who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. That's how he starts off his book, and I think we can assume that it's really written more globally than just to a few people. The next slide is 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. I'm not going to talk about all those things, but he starts this whole section off with that, which I think is really interesting. He says to just put it aside. To me, these are big, big things, and it's worth thinking about what he's really talking about and what he's really asking us to do. So you can go home and do that. That's your homework. One of your homeworks. You got a bunch of homework, by the way. Like newborn babies. So he starts off, they're aliens, but they're newborn babies, so they're not the leaders, probably. They're not just the leaders. They're newborn babies. Long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him, Jesus, this is Peter writing, by the way, and coming to him, Jesus, as the living stone. I just wonder if Peter is kind of thinking back to that where he said, you're the stone. But Jesus is the living stone, which was rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, now that's interesting. Now, we're also living stones. We have a living stone who's Jesus, the foundation, the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're the living stones that are being built on that. We're not just a building of stones, but we're a living stone. So we're alive, a living building. So we've gone from aliens to babies to living stones. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, the next slide, 1 Peter is 9 through 10. I skip a couple verses here. You are a chosen race. He's building on this. We're babies, we're living stones, but now we're a chosen race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. He is still talking about us. We might not always think of us in these terms, but we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And we've grown to become the people of God. Can I get a drink of water here? It's hard standing up here doing these things. Your mouth gets dry, and it's really... but he's moved... We're all these things. We're babies, we're aliens, we're babies, and I think it's real important to realize we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. The priests in the Old Testament were the ones who ministered to the flock, basically. And that's who each one of us are, whether we want to claim that or not, whether we think you have to be up here to be a priest or not. We are all a royal priesthood. And we are all, I think, as a family, as a bunch of living stones, be building into one another all the time. I think nutrition on here, I have nutrition over here, okay? I got two banks of people here talking, and they're probably in the same line. And I'm going to talk about nutrition for a little bit here, and I'm sure I'm going to say the wrong thing, so don't, you can, next time you can be up here and say, I think if I ate one thing all the time, like my Snickers bar, if I ate a Snickers bar all the time, I'd probably be malnourished. If that one thing was something wholesome like pizza, because we know that's a vegetable. But that'd still be malnourished. If we had one source, if we listened to our favorite radio guy, that's all we ever listened to, one source of input, we'd probably be malnourished spiritually. If we only read our one chapter in the Bible, we'd probably be malnourished. And we've had one person speaking, that's all of our job, is to be speaking to one another. We all hear God speaking to us all week long. And I guess that's an encouragement to be listening, because he is speaking to us. And if we wait till Sunday morning, we're going to miss 6 days of valuable lessons. But we can all be sharing these with one another. And I think that's part of our charge. Where am I? Did I skip verses here? Probably not. Okay. I'd like to look at a section in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to have the verse up here. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. I may not read the whole thing. I'm not doing too bad on time. Oops. I lost that page that I dropped. Where'd it go? It's gone. Okay, this is kind of like me looking for John 3:16. I don't have any idea. This one's out. I know that one's no good. This one, okay, this must be it. Okay, anyway. Yeah, Jeff does that, so I can do that too. So anyway, First Corinthians 12. I skipped ahead. We're all to minister to one another. These weren't really written in here. I know you guys are thinking I wrote that up, but I didn't. That part was ad-libbed. we're to minister to one another. Now, how do we do that? Okay, then Paul, Corinthians had some issues. The church at Corinth had issues. There's maybe a couple letters we didn't even get, but the ones we got were pretty loaded with a lot of things. He spends 11 verses kind of railing on all kinds of different issues that they had. And he gets to chapter 12. He's talking about they're greatly misusing spiritual gifts, and he was addressing that whole issue they had. So he's kind of talking about where spiritual gifts come from in this verse. I will read it. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works in all things and all people. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's kind of where I'm focusing. He starts off saying that there's a variety of gifts, ministries, and effects, and says they're all from the same source. He goes on, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. A lot of different manifestations of the Spirit. I've heard some people say that's the list of all of them possible. I think that's, Paul ran out of words. He ran out of paper to write it. He could probably have gone on. He said there's one Spirit. One Spirit indwells each one of us, one Spirit. And that Spirit works through each one of us in a multitude of different ways, different effects, different workings. And that's so that we can be a whole body. And I think that's what he's getting at. He said, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. He's using each one of us in each one of our lives in a different way. I learn things occasionally, and it's different from what other people learn. And I think that's really important, that we need to be able to share with one another. I know we talked about these things. I can ad lib now for a little bit. We do these things come up. I hear these. I've been thinking about the church for a while, and I keep hearing them every message Mike gives. A couple weeks ago, Alan and Annette did the breaking of bread service, and they said it's so nice that they have different people up here doing that. And that was great, and I think that's great. And they mentioned the time when the kids did the breaking of bread service. Remember the youth up here? And that week was a really special week for me. There's 9 or 10 kids up here. That's a lot of people. And they had interviewed you all. I don't know who all they interviewed, but they all read at least one. Most of them read more than one. So let's say there's 10 kids. That's at least 10 people of you who had something to offer to encourage us. 20 people were involved in that service. Oh, then there's Mike. There's 21. And me, I was doing music, kind of a solo gig. For that time, I decided I wanted to have people suggest songs. I didn't know how to work this thing out, so I wrote emails and a few people. All the songs were suggestions from people. So we had 5 other people. We had input from over 2 dozen people that week. It's kind of neat to see that you may not have realized that, but you know, we had inputs from all kinds of different sources. And we can do that. We can be inputs to one another. And I thought what was interesting about this section, he goes through the first 12 chapters in 1 Corinthians, kind of railing on them a little bit, explaining a lot of things. And this whole thing about gifts, you have to learn how to use your gift and learn what your gift is and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. And he said it's good. It is really a good thing to desire these gifts and to use these gifts. But I'm going to show you a still better way. And I thought that was, there it is, 1 Corinthians 12:31. That's the slide. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. That's pretty, something's coming up. That's good. I know that. And I'm not going to read through the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. I bet we all know it. I've known people who've memorized it. No, I'm not going to name names. Changed their life. Anyway, I'm not going to read it. I'm not even going to have it up here. You guys can read it, and I strongly encourage you to read it more than once, frequently. Memorize it. I thought there's two really good things that come out of chapter 13 in Corinthians. The first is the answer to that age-old question that had plagued generations of mankind. Who wrote the book of love? Well, we know Paul did, so we got that. But it also is, I think, the greatest epistle. You just got it. I think it's the greatest epistle ever written about love, and it's really important to read that. He's saying that's the most important thing in all this stuff, is learning to love. And you know, in there he does mention in 1 Corinthians, love never fails. So we know that if we love, we'll never fail. He says, now, this statement, it's always intrigued me. But now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. You're going to think about that for a couple hours. So instead of looking at 1 Corinthians, I want to go back, to John. But I got there by doing my little famous Google search thing. We've talked about all the one another verses, you know, be kind to one another, forgive one another. I typed in love one another, and I got 23 hits. 11 of them were written by John, which is kind of interesting. But I wanted to go back to John 13, 34. We talked about this in our small group last week, and before that too, I imagine. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. So this is a commandment from Jesus, I think it's to his disciples, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. These guys lived with him for 3 years, and they knew what that meant. They didn't know what was going to happen yet. They hadn't seen that part. And so imagine this took on a whole different picture then, but it means a lot. So we think about, how does Jesus love us? That's how we need to love one another, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I'm not going to go into that, but I thought that was a good verse to kind of end the thing on as we end here. We need to learn to love one another just as Christ loved us. So let's start, go back to the last slide. These are our verses again. Go back to the where the whole thing started for me. That's my whole life in a nutshell. Thank you. And we can have the band can come up with us. Go ahead and pray. Lord, we do thank you today again that you are a living stone, a living God. Thank you today that we worship a living God. We can gather together and praise you. We can we're just banded together with this band of wonderful, loving people. Again, just thank you for this day. I ask you to you be blessed through our songs. You be blessed through our service here. And again, we just tell you we love you. Thank you and pray in your name. Amen.
In mind as we sing this last one. Jesus Christ, who lives in
being.